There are words on the left side and words on the right side, and that is a matching game for you. That's for my son Sam. He's somewhere in the house. You match up the words on the right side with the words on the left side, and it'll give you a clue as to what you might see when you go in to the gallery called Room 4. You'll find a couple of comfortable chairs down there. I put comfortable chairs in the gallery because I believe that every good conversation depends on good furniture. That does not bode well for our time together here, given the chairs that most of you are sitting in. Sorry, Bishop. That brochure that you have and the words that I'm offering is an invitation to see. What that means, of course, is that I'm not going to tell you what to see. You're going to have to go down there on your own. I am not generally inclined to tell you what to see any more than I am apt to tell you what to think. But I do hope that by the time that our time is come to a close here, you will have a chance to do both. I want you to see. That's what all artists want. We want you to see. And sometimes that means shattering what you think you see or expect to see. And sometimes, there can be beauty found in the brokenness. Sometimes the spirit shows up and you find yourself suddenly entering into one of those moments where time seems to be suspended because you're not entirely sure what it is that you're seeing. I call that grace, straight up. I would like to thank those who helped me with the gallery. There are several artists that have contributed work down there, but especially to my assistant, Sherry Miller. You will see some of her work downstairs in Room 4 also. It is, as I said, an invitation to see, but it's also a question. Is there room for justice in a crowded world? Is there room for hospitality in these harsh times? Is there room for the other? I honestly don't know the answer to that question. It's a real question that I am asking you right now, because we are United Methodists, but we are a torn community, and we live in a torn world, and we are hell-bent on tearing each other. Is there room to have the conversations that we must have in order for wholeness to be restored? Conversation implies listening, and listening is both a political act and a countercultural act. Is there room for that sort of behavior around here? Is there room for the other, for the stranger, for the one who is all that you are not? Is there room for the enemy? That's a real question, so maybe I should ask it a little more pointedly. To the liberals in the room, and you know who you are, those conversations that you have amongst yourselves, is there room for the conservative voice in those conversations? And to the conservatives in the House, and you know who you are, those conversations that you have among yourselves, is there room for the liberal voice in those conversations? And for those of you that occupy the middle, who don't feel comfortable identifying yourself as either liberal or conservative, is there room for you in between these two? Is there room? Is there room for the voice of a remnant in a denomination that appears to have gone stark raving corporate? Is there room for radical hospitality? The Gospel of Matthew offers a way to find out. Chapter 18, verse 20 promises that we will see something of interest when we make room for the other. The verse has Jesus saying, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." That's a well-worn passage. It's a well-worn passage like an old dog, a family pet that's been cherished but now long since gone. It's been put to sleep. You see, we all agree on what that passage means. We interpret this passage to mean that no matter how small your worship attendance is, the presence of Christ is in the midst. But there's a problem. The problem comes when we all agree on the interpretation of any text. Because as soon as we agree on what the passage means, as soon as we all agree on how to interpret the passage, then we no longer have to read the passage itself. We no longer need to see the passage. And when the interpretation supplants the text is no longer living. Matthew 18, verse 20 is as dead as Jesus on a Saturday afternoon. Now, let me be clear. I believe that Jesus shows up to those churches, even the ones that our denomination would label as something less than vital. It's just that this passage is not about worship. It's about conflict. It's about mending a torn community and what you will see when you try. A few verses before this one, Jesus is telling his followers, if any member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, then take one or two others along with you. So first there's you and the other. That's two. And if the wholeness in the form of justice is not restored, then you take another. Now we have three. Jump down just a couple of verses, and Jesus uses those very same numbers. Where two or three are gathered, you will see another. When the church sits down to mend that which is torn, the mystical presence of Christ will be seen. Where two are gathered like this, like these chairs. Where two are gathered like this, chairs opposite, toe to toe, with that gaping wound running down between the two, where two are gathered in this setting, you will see a third. But is there room for the other? Is there room for the radical hospitality of justice? It is time we made room for each other. It is time we made unconditional room. This communion table here to my left seems to be suggesting that in some places this is already happening. This table is saying that there is room for reconciliation and there is room for liberation in the most unlikely of places. You see, the community that gathers around this table on a regular basis is a community behind bars. The furniture that we are fortunate enough to use, that we have been gifted with, is furniture that comes from the Women at the Well United Methodist Church, the church that is on the inside of the prison walls. There is not much room in a prison, and there is not much room behind the bars, even less room in between the bars. There is no room to escape. There is no room for freedom, no room for reconciliation. These prison bars, they march in a steady rhythm that rhymes with the monotony of incarceration. I'd like for you to look at the metalwork at the bottom of this table. You see the pattern that's running along the bottom in brass. These are prison bars. Prison bars on a communion table. But I want you to know the person that designed this table, and he would really like for you to read the front of this metalwork from left to right, because what you'll find when you get to the far end is that there is indeed room, and yes, it's on purpose. There is room to move. There is room to breathe. There is room for the Spirit to enter, room for release of the captives. There is room for the presence of the resurrected Christ, room for restoration and liberation. The radical hospitality of justice makes room. We are torn and we are tearing. We are devout and we are different. Come in, sit down, listen with your eyes. Because when you sit down in chairs like this, facing each other, toes almost touching. When you sit down across from the other, there is that gaping wound that runs between the two of you. Open your eyes and tell me what you see. The silence may be awkward, but it will be honest, because you're devout and different. Something needs to be said, and even more needs to be heard. Come in, sit down, listen with your eyes. It's time to make room. Where two are gathered, you will see a third. Amen.